I did go to school for cosmetology because I did love doing hair at that mm-hmm. time. And I did get that and then got connected with a guy that I met in school and college, and it was just toxic. He was really good with my son, but he and I just were toxic. But at that time, I was just desiring, whoa, somebody is actually going to be a father mm-hmm. to my son. And all right, we'll work through the rest. But it just was not good because he did drugs. He just was not committed. I was angry all the time. It just was not a good space. I was drinking all the time. And but we got engaged.
Anyway.
We still got engaged. We moved in together, all these things, and it just was not good. Right. It wasn't, Rebecca. It wasn't abusive or anything like that, but there was no commitment. There was no true love. There was nothing. It was just convenient. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was cleaning my apartment one day, and I just heard in my heart, which I know my mom was praying for me, you leave this man or I'm going to turn his heart from you. And I was like, oh, that's the devil. Mm-hmm. Devil, you are not coming to take this because this is what I want. He is good with my son and this is how it's going to be. And I heard that 3 other days. And probably I think it was like the 7th or 8th day I came home from work, and we had already, his parents had given us money for a down payment on a house. And like all of these things were falling into place, but I still mm-hmm. did not feel good about it. And I came home and everything in that apartment was gone.
Wow.
Everything. Furniture, dishes, food out of the refrigerator, all of my clothes,
all
my hair equipment, like because I was doing hair. So, you know, you got to buy all of your curling irons and your flat irons and all of these things. And I had a space where I could do it at home as well. All of that was gone. All the money in the bank was gone. He had taken the car. He had taken everything. The only thing he didn't touch was my son's room. Everything of my son's was still in there. But he took everything, which caused me to have to come back to Toledo. So we were in Michigan City, Indiana, where his family was from, and caused me to come back to Toledo. Wow. And when I came back, all I had was my paycheck. I had nothing else. I was homeless. If it wasn't for my grandmother, my son and I would have been on the street. But I did not realize how much my choices and actions were affecting my son. Mm. My son had a bond with this man, and we came back here. He was 7. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't sleep. He cried. You know, we had to put him in the hospital for a little bit. Our choices as parents affect our children. Mm-hmm. And I just got a flashback, like, this is what I felt when my mom was making choices, and here I am now doing the same thing. Here's the people that I despise at certain times in my life. It's the very person I have become. And I didn't like it, but I didn't fix it. Mm-hmm. I just drank. More and 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 more. I was drinking every day, all day. I would put it in milk or Hawaiian punch, or I put it in pop, or I would put it in juice, or I was drinking vodka, and I would put it in everything at all times. From the moment I woke up in the morning to the time I went to bed, I would hide it different places in my house so that I could just take a drink whenever I want to without letting everybody else mm-hmm. know what was going on. I was good at pretending. I was a great actress. I was so good at it. I was drunk at work, but I knew how to function and still get done what I needed to get done. It just was not a good place at all. By that time, I'm 21, mm-hmm. so you go from—
I'm so young.
Mm-hmm. You go from 5 all the way to 21 mm-hmm. with no help. No, like, real wisdom on how to heal. Mm-hmm. Closed off to wisdom if it would come to you. Looking at yourself as if you're nothing. Wanting to hurt everybody in your path. Like, just wanting to get revenge for everything that had happened. refusing unconditional love that was being offered. I just was a mess. My life was not good. And I needed to do something about it. But here's the problem. I didn't want to do anything about it. And at that time, by that time, my mom was such a protector of my son. Like, she knew the anger in me. She knew all of the things that were going on. And she would say, I'm praying and God is about to do something and I need you to get yourself ready for it. And I told her, stop praying for me, because when you pray, God hears you. And I love being a sinner. And I think I just said that to make her mad, but there was some truth behind it. I told her, I love being a sinner. I love drinking. I love having sex. I love making God mad. I love all these things. Like, I just told her I loved it. And she would just look at me like, Dorena, if you don't hush, you have no idea what you're saying. But that didn't stop her love for me. That did not stop her praying for me. That did not stop her from seeing the best in me. That did not stop her from really trying to reach me. She wanted to do what people didn't do for her, but I was not receiving it, and I didn't want it. Again, because I thought God put me on this earth to be punished, to be hurt. And how can he take my mom's life and make it beautiful, and I'm still living in this chaos, not realizing it had everything to do with me. And the lack of healing, the lack of desire of even believing I was worthy of healing. I was worthy of God's love. I didn't think I was. I didn't believe I didn't believe it. It just, you know, people say it.
Yeah.
God loves you. Like, no, he doesn't. God wants the best for you. No, he doesn't. I didn't believe it at all. I believed every lie the enemy presented me.
You're so hardened.
I was rough. And it's funny because people were like, no, no, Sister Dorena, you weren't like that. No, you weren't. Yes, I was. No, Miss Dorena. No, yes, I was.
Because people know you now as a very different person.
Yes. And that's why it's hard for them to believe it. But that's why it's so important for me to let my testimony be heard, because God took the most broken, unworthy, ugly, dirty, messed up, abusive, abused, tormented life, and he turned it into something so beautiful. So it was in 1996 that my friend invited me to church. At that time, I was going to, it was Cornerstone, and I walked into the church and I was like, I don't even want to be here. But I only went because she invited me to dinner. Remember, I was staying at my grandmother's house and there were still a lot of people in her house. And I was like, I don't feel like cooking. I don't feel like washing dishes. So sure, I'll go to church with you. But I'm just letting you know, I don't like God. And she was like, it's okay. Let's just go. And I went to church that day and I was probably still drunk from the night before. But I was so mad because he was just preaching. Pastor Bitz was just preaching about my life. And I was mad. And I said, and I quote, Lord, how are you going to tell this little short dude who is a stranger all of my business? And I'm sitting in the seat and people next to me are kind of like looking, because the way I'm saying it now is how I was saying it then. I was just like, how are you telling him my whole business? And don't think I'm going to do an altar call, because I'm not going to go up there. I'm not giving my life to you. But he just kept speaking, and it was every single thing that I was going through, and how you blame God for all of it. But he's the one that has been protecting you through it all. And I was just like, well, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that he's been protecting me, because if he was protecting me, none of this stuff would happen. But it didn't kill. And so then he would say, he said, but it didn't kill you. His protection was all around you. And I'm so mad. I'm like, no, that wasn't the truth. So I'm having this whole dialogue during the service. And then he did an altar call. And I was like, I'm not going. But I felt my body get up walking up there. And I said, well, I'm not going to receive anything. And he comes to pray for me. And I grab his hand and I said, you better not push me down. Because, you know, people sometimes fall out in the spirit. And he was like, just looked at me like, okay. And he just lightly touched my head. And the power of God, the presence of God just consumed me. And before I knew it, I was just laying on the ground crying. And I said, I need to be free. I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be hard anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be harsh anymore. I want to love. I want to do things right. Mm-hmm. I want it to be better. And God had brought my husband into my life. We have been friends since we were 11 years old. So wow. He knew my story. Mm-hmm. He knew the depth of who I really was. And I knew the depth of who he really was. And we had come together and I was just like, and this relationship I want different than any other relationship I've ever had, because I had a lot. It's when you're searching for things that only God can fill, you tend to open yourself up to people mm-hmm. you never should have. And we continued going. And by that time, I had a therapist, a counselor, three pastors, and a mentor wow. helping me.
Wow. So you're surrounded.
I was surrounded because I was a mess, you guys. I'm just going to tell you. Just I was a hot mess, and I needed all of that. Mm-hmm. I needed accountability. I needed the people in my life that saw who I was even when I didn't know mm-hmm. she existed. I didn't know that's what I needed at that time, but that's exactly who God brought in my life. I needed a mentor who was strong mm-hmm. and kind of like tough, not aggressive and mean, but tough, mm-hmm. not easily intimidated, because that was one of the things I could do. Mm-hmm. I could manipulate and intimidate people to do whatever I wanted them to do. And they just would do it because of fear or whatever. But I could, anybody, this woman, I could not. She challenged me on all levels. Wow. All levels of my life. And I could not resist the teaching and the wisdom that she was giving, even when I was mad at her. And it was one of the things she said, there will be days you won't like me, but you will listen because you love me and you know the intent of my heart for your heart. And I was like, no, I'll never do that. And I think it was the second day that we started walking some things out. And I said, I really don't like you.
Right. There it came.
And there it was. But for some reason, I submitted. And Pastor Banks, Pastor Tony, anybody who knows them, just helped in as far as marriage. Because by that time, Marisa and I had decided, like, we really want to get married. Mm-hmm. And really walked us through that as well. But I was still a mess, Rebecca, in some spaces. And almost lost, like, one of the most valuable gifts God had given me, which was my husband. I was still the one who wanted to live as if I was in survival. Mm-hmm. I was the one who always had to be in charge. So submitting was not easy. I was the one who thought had to always figure it out. So I thought I knew everything. So listening to his wisdom was not always easy. And it came a point where he said, Dorena, you'll let me be a husband and a father that God has created me to be, or I'm out of here.
Wow.
And I said, oh, so you're not, see, here's the manipulation part. Yeah. Oh, so you're not a man of your word. You Ooh. Made a commitment to God and to me, and now you're going to back away from it. And he said something so profound. He is one that can speak, and my heart gets it immediately, even if my mouth doesn't want to act like it didn't. Mm-hmm. And he said, I chose to love you. I choose to love you right now. But I refuse to be in a relationship that's abusive, because your mouth won't stop at times. And God never put me here to be abused by you. He put us together to build and grow. Mm. And I just looked at him. I rolled my eyes and stomped off. I will never forget that day. And then I just heard the Holy Spirit say, you're about to lose the very gift, the very thing you prayed for. And then I knew, okay, I have to now be 100% in. Because then if I lose the gifts that God is, the gifts that he's presenting to me, then it's me. Mm-hmm. It's nothing else mm-hmm. but me. It's stubbornness. It's pride. It's all the things that bring you down to a fall. And I knew, no, God has so much more. So let me do this work. And anybody out there listening, the truth of the matter is this. The work is not easy, but it is necessary. It is necessary for the transformation. what I discovered was I didn't even know who God was. But as I discovered him and who he really was, then I was able to discover me. And when I did that, then my life changed. When I allowed God and discovered what his love really was for me, and I opened myself up to love him with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, then I could love myself. Then I could love my neighbor mm-hmm. as myself. Before, it didn't exist. I didn't love God, mm-hmm. so I couldn't love me, and I couldn't love anybody else. But as God is healing and like uprooting all of the heaviness, all of the darkness, when I first started telling my testimony, tears would come out. I could barely get the mm-hmm. words out because the pain of it was still there. And I remember when that shifted, like when I was smiling and laughing and I said, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. You mm-hmm. have totally healed me of this from the shame or the mm-hmm. pain of it. Because it really is about restoration. It really is about what does your life consist of before Christ? What lies? What ungodly beliefs? What cycles? What generational, you know, curses and those type of things? What existed before is totally different than what exists after. And when I tell you God took that broken girl, the one who was drunk in church, the one people told me God was going to strike me down the moment I tried to walk through the doors because I was bringing alcohol. I was bringing it to church mm-hmm. because it was blasphemous and how I was dishonoring and disrespecting God. But what I discovered was he needed me to come even in mm-hmm. that state because I wouldn't stay that way for long. Mm-hmm. He opened wow. up his heart. He opened up his life, opened up his house, sorry, and allowed me to come at my most broken mm-hmm. space and still did not reject me when I was coming in ways people thought I should not come in. Blasphemous. That's what I heard a lot. You're going to die. He's going to strike you down coming into his house with vodka. And I said, I'd rather come in with it than stay out with it.
Wasn't it interesting? I was just thinking as you're talking and not to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
But that enemy is so sly. I mean, you were fed so much negative and this negative spoken over your life forever. And here you are trying to make a change and it's still coming.
Yes.
I mean, the enemy just doesn't want you in those doors at all.
He never wanted me in those doors because that is where my life changed. I got into parenting classes. I realized that I was an abusive mother. I just was. My words were just so aggressive. Mm-hmm. And I remember when the Lord showed me in a dream, and that's how God started talking to me in dreams a lot. I never understood dreams and visions and all of that. But he started talking to me a lot in dreams or showing me things mm-hmm. in dreams. And one of the most profound dreams, and I always say, like, it was God giving me a message of this is where you're at mm-hmm. and this is what it's doing. And I was in a park and all these people I love were in the park, including like my mom and my son and family and friends and all of those things. And it was me walking with this man. Now, at that moment, I didn't know it was God, but I did when I woke up. But on everybody's heart were these bullseyes, mm-hmm. like if you're throwing darts or wow. something like that. So everybody's heart had bullseyes. And I'm like, why are the bullseyes? I'm looking at the man like, why are those bullseyes on their heart? What's going on? That's a dangerous spot for a bullseye to be. These are the words I'm saying.
Wow.
And then he said, take a look, speak to them. And the moment I began to speak to the people in the park, this long assassin's rifle came out of my mouth. And every time I went to speak to them, I was devouring, blowing up their heart. And then I heard these words. Your voice should lift people up, but you are assassinating their hearts.
Wow.
Change. Let me in. And then I woke up and I sat up in my bed. And I just started rocking and crying. I said, God, I don't want my words to tear mm-hmm. people down like people's words have torn me down these all these years. I don't want that. I'm ready. That was so, and I still have that journal. I wrote that years ago. I'm pretty sure that was 97 or 98. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I don't want that. I don't want to be that.
Right.
That's not who I am. And it just, I needed that visual to truly understand the power of my words, not just the power of other people's words, excuse me, but the power of my words. Mm-hmm. And that is when I said, okay, I need to be a reflection of Christ. And people always ask me, even to this day, how do you keep from like going off? How do you keep from doing these? Way back then, I made the decision, if it doesn't lift up, if it doesn't build up, if it doesn't reflect God, if it is not something He would say, I don't get to say it.
Wow.
I get to get silent and pray and let God search my heart because I don't want anything hidden in there.
That's some discipline, Dorena.
And it did take discipline because there are some times I'd be like, what?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait, I can't say that.
But I'm justified.
Yeah. And because we'll tell us, I have a right to say this.
Mm-hmm.
You know how people always say, I'm just giving facts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving the truth. Mm-hmm. But
telling
it really,
like it is.
Yeah. That was the key thing. I'm just keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
But are you really keeping it real?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are reactive, it's all emotion and you're not keeping it real. It's just how you feel in that moment. But if you stop and you process and you pray, you will give a proper response.
Right.
People don't want to stop, don't want to process, don't want to pray. So with that, my life began to change. It did. And I got in children's ministry and I started ministering to kids, which was a huge like deliverance for me because I hated children. But it wasn't until I started my healing process to understand it wasn't that I hated children. I resented children that got to be children. Children who didn't have to be responsible. They didn't have to worry about life. They just had to be children and go to school and have fun with their friends. And in that, I was like, oh, God, I don't want to be mad at kids for having what they always should have.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their fault I didn't have what I had. And then God opened that door for me to start ministering to children. Wow. And I was in children's ministry for about 21 years.
Wow.
And it grew from children to the family to all of that. And it was just such a blessing how Cornerstone had really just just embraced me and helped me to grow into all these things I needed to see the best in me when I didn't know it even existed, to give me the chance or the opportunity. Someone who started coming as an alcoholic cussing in church and bringing vodka to church, to someone who is now building families and ministering to children. It just was so beautiful. And then, my family began to grow. I began to know how to love properly and to love my husband and to love my son. And then God added four more beautiful children to our family that we were able to adopt and just embrace and love as well. And just to see my family growing, the very thing people told me I would not have, the longevity, I would not have a real relationship, I would not have a covering as far as a husband, and all these things that I wouldn't have now, they're right before me, that God would never use my life for anything good. But now He's using it to minister to children and to families. How God just took that brokenness and turned it into something beautiful. I said it's like a mosaic. It's like one of those art pieces where you take broken pieces of glass and then you create something beautiful out of that. I said He took all the brokenness of my life and He created out of the brokenness. He created something so beautiful.
God's so big like that.
He is big. And then He opened up my life even more. To step into mom's house, Christina and I had a conversation and they allowed me to come in and start telling my story. That's how I got connected to mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
I got to come in and just tell my story to the moms who were there at the parent meeting. And a connection happened immediately with me and some of those moms. And what I didn't know is they kept asking her, when is she coming back? When is she coming back? Can she come back? And so I did, I think, at least three or four more parent education meetings and just telling my story, the different layers. Because mm-hmm. 1 hour, you can't really get everything out. But just the different layers mm-hmm. and how then it started resonating with our with the clients there. And she and I have been friends for years. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure we're close to 30 years now. Wow. And one thing I knew about her, she did not cross friendship mm-hmm. with mom's house. She's mm-hmm. very protective about who comes in and who has the ability to stand in that space, because she knows just from her own story the importance of having the right people in places to be able to help those who are trying to come out of, you know, bondages and things in their own life and cycles. And so we were out to dinner celebrating a friend, and I asked her, I said, how are, you know, certain ones doing? She was like, it's a mess. So we may need you to come in. And I said, okay. I said, you can just hire me. And we just busted out laughing because it was just a joke. Right. And to me, it was a joke. But what I didn't know, she had already been pondering on, they had already been talking about it. And that was on a Friday. And on Monday, she had called me and left a message and said, when you get off of work, can you call me? And I called my husband and I said, I don't know why I'm feeling this in my spirit. Like, she's going to ask me to work at mom's house. And sure enough, that's what it was. It was the open door to something so extraordinary. And I've been there 11 years. It was 11 years on June 1st. And it has been so beautiful to see how God is using my life in that family wellness space. And think about that, family wellness. When you come from family brokenness and now God has you as the family wellness coordinator. But it still goes back to all the work I was willing to do, all the spaces mm-hmm. I was willing to let God in, all the places in my heart that I kept locked up, and just literally turned those keys over to him and said, no more. I don't want the keys. I'm not my protector. Mm-hmm. You're my protector. I don't have to keep these things locked up. You heal them. And when you do that, then he can use your life in a greater capacity. For the past 11 years, being able to walk with our clients, moms and dads, and help them to discover the best part of them. When you're in it, all you see is the struggle. Mm-hmm. And what they say is, Ms. Dorena, you just bring a whole nother perspective. You get us to see in a different way. And I said, it's because I have people in my life that help me to see it in a different way. One of the things I said to God all those years ago, back in 1996, if you can take this broken, messed up, disgusting, out of control, nasty, filthy, abusive girl, and you can turn her into something beautiful, I promise I will use my life until the day I die to make sure others know the beauty that exists in their lives. And I did have a request, I said, but my one request is, please let me see people the way you see them. I want to see them beyond their circumstance. Allow me to see their heart. Mm-hmm. And God has done that. And being a part of Mom's House, now I'm a part of Compassion at Calvary. Mm-hmm. I've been, before we merged, I was at Compassion Toledo on Airport, and being a part of that family, and Bishop Chaz and Pastor Alicia seeing something in me that, again, those things you don't really know exist. My mom would prophesy to me all the time and say, God has anointed you to be a pastor. I said, no, he hasn't. No. Nope. I said, I can preach, I can teach the word, and I can do all those things. I said, but no, he has not anointed me to be a pastor. I don't want that. That's a responsibility. Oh, wow. And she just would say it all the time. And then one day Pastor Chaz said, Christy and I had preached on a Mother's Day, and he said, one day you're going to be a part of our pastoral team. Wow. And it makes me think, I disqualified myself way back here. Mm-hmm. Other people disqualified me, but God never did. No. He always knew who I was because he saw beyond the mess. He saw beyond the pain. He saw beyond the abuse. He saw all of who I was because he knew me before I was ever in my mother's womb. He knew the plans he had for me before I ever discovered them. And the things I had been through back there did not disqualify or shift his plans for me. All I had to do was come into alignment with him so I could see what he saw. And then step into it confidently, knowing he's already anointed me for this. He's already chosen me for this. He's already qualified me for this. He's already placed me in this. He's already prepared this space for me. All I had to do was just step into it. All I had to do was just trust him. All I had to do was just release all that junk and embrace him. And then I was able to step into the very destiny that existed before I was ever born. That is my life now. It is an honor, honestly, to be the women's pastor and to help women in our church to really discover these things, heal, allow God in that space, discover who he's made you to be, and now step into that calling. To the women and the men at mom's house, like to be able to see not just your education, but the very worth and value of who you are and how you heal and you break those cycles and allow God to break those cycles, and then how your children come along with you and what was for you is no longer for them. And then even in my own family, to have the very longevity, a real marriage, one that is full of love and laughter and friendship and constantly building and being able to love on my children and my grandchildren and my sister, who is absolutely my best friend, and my nieces and my nephews and all of these things. If I would have looked with that lens back here, I would have never gotten to this place, but God, but God, who is the lifter of our heads, but God, who is the redeemer of our lives, but God, who is the one who turns the worst into something beautiful. He will give us beauty for ashes, and he will take the broken things and make it beautiful right before your eyes. I never thought at 51 how my life would impact so many, but God always knew it. And I am thankful for the opportunity to talk about how what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around and worked it for our good. The plans and that he had for me were always the plans he had for me. But the snares of the enemy, they didn't succeed. They may have succeeded for a moment, but God's plan succeeds for a lifetime. Amen. And all we have to do is just heal and let him in. And when you do that, and I'm speaking to anybody who's listening right now, surrender. Don't try to figure it out on your own. He is the answer. You're looking for all these answers, and God is the answer. Jesus is your answer. And when you allow him to be your answer, everything changes.
Amen. God is such a show off.
He is.
He's
Rebecca.
Showing off in you, Darina, and he can show off in each and every one of us if we allow him. Wow, I'm just listening. All I keep hearing is, God, you're showing off. You're showing off. You're showing off. But he can. Thank you for sharing your story.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've heard your story before, not in its entirety, like today. But I knew this is one that had to be heard. There's so much brokenness in the world, and the enemy is trying so hard to disunify, to tear up homes.
He sure is.
Does a pretty good job of it, but let's not give him too much credit. God let him in.
Yeah.
And I just hear it today, just even speaking kind words over people that you don't know and giving them the benefit of the doubt and speaking life into people.
Always.
Yeah.
Even when I have always joke, one of the biggest places he always has me ministering outside of church and mom's house and is in the grocery store.
Oh, there you go.
I have stood in the store praying for people because I can just feel and discern. We can get so busy with life and things, But what happens when you really start looking at the least of these, right? And really taking the time to sow into them. I was the least of these at one time. And I thank God for the people who sacrificed their time, their prayers, their energy to sow into my life, to speak to me, to build me up, to pray for me. And in those moments, you have no idea what your prayer and even your smile or even the conversation does for a person's heart. Everybody goes through things, but how many times are we blinded because we're so focused on what we need in that moment that we miss the opportunities that God has given us? We have to be open, willing vessels.
Yes, we do.
And that is my life. My life is not my own. It is always, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Where are you leading me today? Who would you like me to speak to? Who am I praying for today? Who do I get to lead to you today? That is my life. I have no other option. I don't give myself any other option. I am one that will be used by God until the day that I'm in my casket and I'm not on this earth anymore. I have sacrificed and I have submitted and surrendered my life to him. And it's not just for me. My testimony wasn't just for me. It was for all the people who would hear it, and it would give them hope, and it would lead them to Jesus, and it would transform their lives. It wasn't just for me to come out and hoard it for myself and keep it for myself. I'm not a hoarder. I'm a giver. And so I have to give this testimony so that it brings healing and deliverance to someone else. When you realize who God is and you begin to let him in those spaces and you love him with your whole heart and you give him the keys and you stop trying to do it yourself and figure it out and you stop trying to be everything for yourself, your life will be transformed. And the beauty that is on the other side of that is so amazing. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I went through what I went through because of what people had opened up to me and what I opened up to myself. But even God takes that and turns it into something beautiful. So there is beauty on the other side of your pain. There is beauty on the other side of the struggle. There is beauty on the other side of the abuse. And there is beauty on the other side of your life. You just have to surrender and submit to him. Give yourself no other option but to surrender to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is everything that you need to have a beautiful, successful, blessed life. Trust him, surrender, and be who God has always created you to be.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Dorena Webb, thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for your honesty, your vulnerability, your transparency. And I know God is going to use this to bless somebody, if not many
somebody. Yes, ma'am. Yes. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.